Today, while we're in a season of joy, I really think we are in a season of joy, and it was interesting to note, you see that we have three candles that have been lit. On the first Sunday of Advent, we were reflecting upon hope, and then last Sunday, we reflected upon peace, and today, we reflect upon joy, and you'll see that the candle they lit is a different color today. And that's because traditionally the Sunday of joy is a little bit different. And as we reflect, we know that hope and peace and joy, as Christians, we know that they're all wrapped together. They all belong together. But today's a different candle because it represents joy and it's a little bit brighter. The candle color itself is a little bit brighter. Let that be a reminder to us that, you know, if our lives are secure with Christ, it'll be a little brighter. There's something different about us. When the world looks at us, they ought to see something different about us than they see in others around them. One of the traditional readings that people have on the third Sunday of Advent when they're celebrating joy is from the book of Philippians. And Philippians tells us a lot about joy. The book of Philippians tells us a lot about joy and how the Christian can have joy no matter what circumstances they find themselves in. But Philippians 4:4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." So as a result of that, they would set apart the third Sunday of Advent as a special Sunday. They called it in Latin, I believe, Gaudet Sunday, and that means rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And for the Christian, we have joy, we can rejoice. But let me tell you something real simple that makes a lot of sense. You can't rejoice unless you have joy to begin with. That's what the word means. Rejoice means find joy again, or take joy again, or dwell in joy again. I mean, you can't rejoy unless you joy to begin with, okay? And so if we're Christians, we have joy within us with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Sometimes things get tough and we get down in the dumps. We get unhappy. We get sad. We grieve. We get depressed. But you know what we need to do? We need to go back and rejoice. Let me tell you what I believe rejoicing is. It's just setting your eyes back on Jesus. That's what it is. Because Christ is our joy, amen? So when we rejoice, it's as simple as quit looking at the things that are getting you down. Just set your attention, your focus, your gaze back upon Jesus. We're going to be looking at a few different Bible verses today. Maybe you'll just write them down as we go through and I'll read them to you. But the majority of what we're looking at comes straight from Luke chapter 2. In fact, let's go ahead and read, beginning in verse 8, what it says. We'll read at least through verse 12. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, it says this, "And in the same region there were shepherds." Does this sound familiar from this morning earlier? "Out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.'" Let's keep reading. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Wow, what a great, great experience they must have had to have been able to just see and hear everything that the angels had said, and then to go and find that, you know what, surely it's true, and then to begin to tell others as well. Today I want to share with you why we are in a season of joy, but can we pray before we really begin this morning? Lord, thank you for this time we have to study your word, and God, we want to see what the Bible tells us about how we can live with joy every day and what that looks like as we live our lives. So Lord, help us to be distraction-free and focused in on what your word teaches us. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask these things. Amen. One of the things that people just love about Christmas is because they call it Christmas cheer, or, you know, there's just a spirit of happiness or Christmas joy. And surely you find it all over the place. You see a lot of the artwork that has to do with Christmas, and everybody's always smiling, cutting up, having a good time. I mean, people describe themselves or characters in books or movies or stories as being jolly and those kinds of things. It's just a happy time of year. And I think we ought to be a happy people as God's people. But here's one of the dangers of the reality of the way the world sets that up. A lot of times they base that happiness on worldly things. Oh, it's such a happy time because look at all the great things that we get to do, or the great gifts we get to receive, or the traditions that we honor, or the memories that we make. And so there's nothing wrong with being happy about those things and enjoying those things and all that God gives and blesses you with. But ultimately, if your satisfaction and your happiness is based only in those things, you're going to be let down every time, because those things are only temporary. And you know what? When January the 1st rolls around, all the stores will already be different. There won't be the same colors up. Things won't be decorated the same. They'll be moving on to the next holiday, trying to focus in on it. Hallmark will go in and they'll take all the Christmas cards out. They'll start getting Valentine's Day ready before you know it. All those things will happen because the seasons change. But let me tell you, folks, as Christians, we permanently live in a season of joy. Amen? Now, sometimes we might not be happy. Sometimes things may not go our way. We may get sad. We may be grieving. We might be depressed. But ultimately, because of who Jesus is and what He's done, we can find joy. You know, it doesn't take much, it seems like, for a little kid to be gathered with their family, and they're sitting at the table and they're opening gifts and they open it up. You ever seen one of those videos where they open up a box and it says it's a PlayStation or an Xbox, and they open it up and mom and dad had only used the Xbox or PlayStation box to hide something else? And they're like, yes, yes, and they open it and it's not a PlayStation or an Xbox. Many of you know what I'm talking about when a little kid gets so excited and he says, wow, an avocado. Doesn't take much to hijack Christmas, does it? Throw things for a curveball. It's okay, and kids do those things, but it honestly reveals something to us about human nature. When our gaze and our attention's fixed on things that really don't bring us true and lasting peace, hope, or joy, it's so easy for Christmas to be hijacked. But for us as Christians, when our gaze is set upon Jesus and Jesus alone, nothing can take away our Christmas. It doesn't matter if family situation didn't work out the way we thought it should. Doesn't matter if we didn't get that gift that we were asking for or looking for. It doesn't matter, because our satisfaction's in Christ and there's joy in what He's done. It can't be stolen. It can't be taken away. There's probably some of you here today. Maybe your season's already been hijacked. Maybe it's already been stolen. Maybe you've already lost a little bit of that happiness and cheer. Maybe Christmas just isn't the way you planned that it would be this year. Well, let me tell you what to do. Rejoice, Christian. Set your attention back on Jesus. You can find that joy again in Christ. You don't lose your salvation, but as David prayed, sometimes we just need to set our gaze back on Him and just have God help give us back that joy that we have in being a child of His. The heart of Christmas is that good news that Jesus Christ was born as Savior into the world. Brother Adam, we know that. Give us something we can really work with. That's all you need to work with. That is the foundation for everything. If it's not centered around the birth of Christ, then it's not part of celebrating Christmas. It might be holidays, it might be traditions, and those are fine and good, but guys, there's a reason why you cannot spell Christmas without Christ. Amen? You can't enter into experiencing the true joy that God has in this season apart from Jesus. So let's look and see why this is a season for joy. First of all, today there's joy. There's joy in salvation. I promise you that. There's joy in salvation. Jesus brings to us the joy of salvation. Now, Jesus brings joy in many areas of life and for many things. But the joy that's especially associated with Jesus' birth is the joy of salvation. Let's look and let's see what these angels proclaim. An angel of the Lord in verse 9 appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I mean, it was such an awesome, amazing sight that they were like, oh no, what is going on? This was like something they had never seen before. And guys, this is just Jesus' entourage. These are just there to announce His birth. These are just there to tell these shepherds who are out in a field, probably alone, maybe they're cold, going through mundane life. You talk about being lost. You talk about having a tough job. These people had a tough job. Society looked down on them. And yet this angel appears to them and brings them this information. All these angels are there and they're telling this. It changes their life. It changes their world. Maybe some of you are a lot more like a shepherd than you think. Going through that routine day after day. Maybe people don't care for you. Maybe you feel like nobody loves you. Nobody's around for you. That's a good description of being, you know, lost in a world that doesn't care. But then there's good news. This is what he says. He says, don't fear. I bring you good news. Not only does it bring news, but it's good news. Not only is it good news, but it's good news of great what? What is it? Good news of great what? So it's good news and there's great joy. But not only is it good news of great joy, but what does it go on to tell us? Good news of great joy that will be for all people. Hey guys, that does make it good news for great joy for us today. Because this news about a Savior being born, it wasn't just a Savior for the shepherds. It's also a Savior for you and for me. So this is a season for joy because there's joy in knowing that salvation's been made possible. One of the great things about Jesus is simply His name. Just simply His name. You know what Jesus' name means? It means, it comes from the Hebrew. And in Hebrew, we would say it's Yeshua, you know, for short, or Yahushua. But it's the same as Joshua. Jesus' name is the same in Hebrew as Joshua. They're the same. It means to deliver. It means to rescue. It means to save. Jesus' name literally means salvation. Jesus came for one purpose. And guys, there's joy in the salvation that Christ offers. Yeah, maybe something has hijacked your Christmas, but that's because your Christmas isn't based around Jesus. Because if your Christmas is based around Christ, nothing can take away your joy. Now, you might lose your gaze. Sometimes it might wander. You might focus on the wrong things for a moment in time, But ultimately, nothing has the power to take away the joy that God brings to your life in salvation. You imagine these shepherds, they're outcasts, they're downtrodden, people look at them different, they have a hard life. Then all of a sudden they get told that they can have a new life that no one can take away. They're being told that God loves them and wants to take care of them. Jesus' name means salvation. Salvation and joy go hand in hand. For some people, they have no joy in their life. Now, joy is a little different than happiness. I don't want to delve into what might be a false dichotomy, but I think it does serve as a good example that there's a difference between the joy that a Christian has and the happiness that the world has to offer. There's a difference. When I'm talking about joy from the Bible associated with Christ today, I'm talking about a joy that endures forever. Yeah, you can find pleasure, you can find happiness in things of this world, but there's no joy like the joy that Jesus has to offer. Amen? You really believe that today? It's easy to say that in words, but to really hinge your hopes upon that, it takes faith to believe. Remember I told you about David. David prayed a simple prayer one time. He said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit." David had wrote that in Psalm 51, verse 12. He wrote that after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. David had sinned greatly against God. David had even effectually committed murder. But he still understood the connection between salvation and being a child of God and having joy. David realized no matter how much I mess up, no matter what I've done or what comes my way or how my circumstances change, I can just have joy in my relationship with God. The same thing's true for you and for me today. This is a season for joy because of who Christ is and what He's done. And when our attention is set on Him, nothing else seems to matter. We find the same connection appears when the prophet Isaiah writes, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." You see, joy and salvation are inseparable. The Church of Christ has known this for centuries. That's why we've developed a pattern, a season of Advent. We call it Advent. It means expectation, looking for Jesus' coming. But today we're not just focusing on Jesus coming in the flesh as a babe, but we're also in a season of Advent because we're looking for His return. So today when I tell you that we're in a season for joy, I'm not just telling you that we're in a season for joy because we're thinking about Christmas, but we're in a season for joy because we know Christ is coming again for His church. And every single one of our pains and our worries and our troubles and problems, they'll all pass away. None of that's going to endure. But the child of God will endure with Him forever. We're in a season for joy because Jesus came. Please don't get me wrong and think that I only mean it's a season for joy around Christmas time. For the Christian, it's a life of joy for all of eternity. And so our gaze needs to be set on Him so we're not distracted, so that we're not focused in on the wrong things. There's no true and lasting joy without salvation, and there's no true salvation without that lasting joy. The two go together. They're inseparable. If you have one, you have them both. They just are a part of each other. When we read here in the Gospel of Luke, I like how in chapter 1, it tells us something really great. It tells us, if you look with me right here in verse 39, it says, "In those days," of chapter 1 of Luke, "in those days Mary arose and went with haste." Remember, Mary's carrying baby Jesus into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's Mary expecting. There's Elizabeth expecting. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." You see that? Even from the very beginning, there's joy in what Christ's mission is going to be for all the world, for all people. You see, she shows up at her cousin's house, and as soon as Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, this babe, little John the Baptist, that's who he's going to be, John the Baptist. I could jokingly say that, you know, hey, Baptists can have joy too, because John the Baptist did. That's why on Wednesday night I told you guys, when we come in on Sunday, let's sing with joy and enthusiasm. Because joy is not just an emotion you feel on the inside. Joy is observable. Everybody say observable. That means that the joy in your life is a testimony to others about what's going on. What's going on with your spirit, your soul? What's happening in your life can have an effect on them. And when they see that you have this, what is going on with you that you just seem so joyous? They begin to wonder, how can I have that joy? You can tell them it's all because of what Christ has done for me and what He wants to do for you to offer salvation. Now, what's being described here in Luke chapter 1 is not something that really I will ever experience. My wife has felt a baby move inside of her womb. And when we would go visit the doctor when she was carrying Jeremiah, we would always stop at Chick-fil-A. Y'all know I like Chick-fil-A, right? And on the way there, we would get a frosted lemonade. And those things are about 3 parts sugar and 1 part something else. And they're good. And Jordan just loved them. She'd say, "I've got a craving. I got to have one." Every time we'd go to the doctor, she would get a frosted lemonade. And we'd go in there and they'd be doing that sonogram and they'd be looking on the screen to see everything you could see from the machine. And that baby would always be moving because of that frosted lemonade. I never felt a baby. Now, I'd felt Jeremiah move inside her tummy by putting my hand on her tummy, but I never felt that. Some of you ladies have felt a baby move or jump or leap. Elizabeth knew this was a special leap. This was something amazing. There was some excitement. The Bible says that it was the Holy Spirit. And if we're believers, we have the Holy Spirit. And you know what sometimes it'll do? It'll cause us to get excited. Get us excited about Jesus Christ. Amen. There ain't much that gets me too excited. There are a few things, but nothing gets me excited like Jesus. So much that He just brings me joy. I'm living in a season of joy because now I'm saved and have salvation. Wow, what a great example. But not only there, we also see in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says, "After listening to the king," talking about the wise men, "they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was." And this is what it says in verse 10. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." Even the wise men knew that's the star, and there he is. We're so excited. You know, people, when they first get saved, they're so excited about how Jesus comes into their hearts, into their lives, has changed them, made them new, how He has rescued, delivered, saved them. But sometimes we get bogged down in the busyness of the world and life and changes, and sometimes we begin to let that joy fade a little bit. Well, what does the Bible tell us we need to do? Rejoice! Come back to the place to where Jesus is at the center and focus of our lives. Secondly today, there's joy in praise. There's joy in praise. We see this demonstrated for us in lots of examples. One of the things that happens is right there in Luke chapter 1, it's called the Mary's Song of Praise from verse 46 through verse 45. Mary begins to basically sing a song. She begins by saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord." She just begins to just praise God, just openly. Guys, our praise of God can take many forms. I believe that Mary was speaking with the Holy Spirit, and that's why we have it recorded here in our New Testament. But everything she says here is true. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He's looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And she continues to say, this is what God has done for me. This is what God has done for me. We're praising God when we begin to sing and tell others what God has done for us. It takes many forms. Praise does. Sometimes it's just in a quiet, silent prayer time. You just begin to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. God, only you could do it. You alone can save, and you've done that. And God, even though I was desperately wicked and without any kind of hope on my own, you came and stepped in and made all the difference for me. Sometimes our praise looks like what we just did in congregational worship, as we took a moment and just sang great truths about God. Sometimes our praise looks like reflecting, just taking the time to reflect on God's Word and to say, you know what? That's what the Bible says. And yeah, that's true. God, you really are great. There is reason for me to rejoice. There's joy today in salvation, but there's also joy in praise. Mary began to sing and to say all those things. She said in verse 49, He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. Sometimes I think when we pray, all we need to do, just from time to time, you try it. You pray and you just do nothing but bless God's name. You just pray and you just begin to tell God how great He is, and you remind Him, not that He's forgotten, but so that your focus will be on it, of the great things He's done for you recently. You begin to tell Him, God, you've provided for me. I had something to eat when so many others did not today. I had a warm house when so many don't have any way to keep themselves warm. I have friends. I have a church family. I have all my needs taken care of. And God, you give me other things that I don't need. You've allowed me to enjoy this or that or this person in my life. We have things that we can praise Him for because He's God. And He's done wonderful things. We're living in a season for joy. Why? Because ultimately, even if God took away all those things, you know what He's never going to take away? He's never going to take away our salvation. He's never going to take away His Spirit from a Christian. He's never going to do that. And so we have reason to be in joy, and we have reason to praise Him. We also see that there's another pattern from our text today in Luke chapter 2. Oh, it's so good. In verse 20, look at what it says in chapter 2. This is the shepherds had went and they'd heard what the angels had to say, and then they went to go see this thing that's happened. That's what he says in verse 15. Let's go over to Bethlehem. Let's go see what these angels are talking about that the Lord's made known to us. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And everybody wondered at what they told them. Verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and what, God? What? Praising. There's joy, guys, in praising God. And I think that when you have the Holy Spirit, you just can't help but just praise God. You ever just walked outside, saw that nice Texas sunset? They say that the sunset in Texas is like no other place. I've been other places and I ain't found anything like it yet. You ever just walked out and saw the sunset and you just said, wow, God, surely you're the author of the universe, because there's no way that it could be so meaningful. Just begin to praise God for it. Sometimes I look at my family and I just begin to praise God. Just observe what's going on. I just praise God. You want to know another way that God moves me to just praise Him? When I see or find somebody or hear of somebody getting saved, I just begin to praise God. I just begin to get so excited because another lost person has received that joy that God has. Words can't even describe it, guys. You have to experience it to really know it. But there's joy in praise. And the shepherds knew that. They began to glorify God and just praise Him. I don't think that they were trained singers. They're shepherds. They spend a lot of time alone out in the fields. But let me tell you what they did. They didn't let that hinder them from praising God right where they were. They just all got together and began to talk about how good God was. Begin to share with others and tell. And people observed, they observed the joy that was in the shepherds' lives because they'd received this good news of great joy. Thirdly, today there's joy in witnessing. There's joy in witnessing. You see what the shepherds did? When the angels went away, they said, let's go check this out. I'm paraphrasing that. That's the Brother Adam version. Let's go see what God's telling us about. Let's go check it out and see for ourselves. Did they not believe? I don't know. But maybe it was just convenient for them to make a little short trip over there and check it out. God was going to use these shepherds to begin to share the good news. It's just good information unless it becomes news, right? What's the difference between good news and good information? News gets shared. God decided He was going to use lowly shepherds. There's joy in witnessing. It ain't got anything to do with the shepherds. Oh, these shepherds, they were great public speakers. Yeah, doubt it. But they had the best news ever. There's joy in witnessing because of the message. There's joy in witnessing because it's about Christ. But when you get ready to share with your family and you think, well, I don't know how this is going to go, it's going to go exactly the way God intended, because God put you in that family with that news so that you would share it. God's got you ready for the mission He's got you on. You just got to be joyous about witnessing and sharing. Listen, I know people can be cold, and sometimes you might get a door slammed in your face, metaphorically or actually literally. But let me tell you this, if you really believe the message of the gospel, there's joy in sharing that life-bringing message. Bad news, you can't stop it from traveling. The news media, they eat that stuff up. There's a rumor of a war here, or unsettled, or peace, or a problem, or, hey, guess what the latest and greatest bad information on such and such is? You go into the shopping center and you get ready to check out and you look at the magazines, right on the cover page, all this bad news, right? And people will pick it up and buy it. I'm telling you what, if it wasn't for the news media or the magazines and journalists and all that, you know who would keep bad news in business? Gossipers. Gossipers make their living off of bad news. Nobody's ever gossiping when they share good news. But there's a reason there's a problem with gossipers, because bad news travels so easily. But God's given us a good message, and He wants us to share that message against the tide. When the world is sharing nothing but gloom, despair, darkness, problems, God wants us to be a light in that darkness with the message of Christ. Amen? But there's got to be joy in witnessing. One way I can exemplify it is this. Well, I guess let me tell you a little bit about God, because Brother Adam said I had to. That's no way to share the good news of great joy. It's good news of great joy. Not everybody's going to be excited to hear it. Some people are going to slam that door in your face. But you know what? The great joy comes from within. I think you ought to be excited to tell people about Jesus. I think you ought to try to meet them where they are and just give it to them and let God do the work. It's got nothing to do with how you present it, really. It's got nothing to do with your ability to speak or your rapport with them. It's got everything to do with who Christ is. I really believe that's the reason why the message came through shepherds. People began to wonder in the surrounding area, what's got these shepherds all riled up? These are tough people, you know, live out in the countryside, make a hard living. Maybe they don't even have good reputations. But you know what? The good news was even for people with bad reputations. We've got to remember there are none of us that are so good that we don't need this news. Guys, we're living in a season for joy because of what Christ has done for us, our salvation. You know, if Christ is your Savior, you have that joy. That joy of knowing that Christ has forgiven you of your sins, that you've been set free. And nobody can ever take that away from you. And if Christ has saved you and secured your salvation, then you can never lose it. It's the message, the same message that the angel gave to the shepherds on that first Christmas. It still belongs to us even today. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. And who is it? It's Christ the Lord. That's why it's Christmas. There's no true joy without salvation. And there's no salvation apart from the joy that comes from the Lord. Jesus is the reason for our season of joy. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, of course you don't have the joy that I'm talking about. Wouldn't it be great if today you decided, you know what? I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm so glad to hear that good message that He came to live and die for me and take my place, that God has provided a way for me to be reconciled to Him, that God wants to be my Father and love me and take care of me, and that He's already made provision for my salvation. When you realize that, and that becomes what the season's about for you, it'll change your life forever. Secondly, today there's joy and praise, because when God saves you, He begins to use you. In Luke chapter 2, it doesn't say that there was a great time span between when the shepherds received this news and when they began to share it. They just went. They just went to check it out, and when they found out enough to share, they began to share. And all kinds of people heard it. And people begin to wonder. That means they begin to contemplate, and that means they begin to investigate as well. They begin to think about it. Now, wait a minute. Is it possible that God has made a way for us to be saved? Is it possible that God even loves us? Guys, the news would extend beyond the Jews, way out into the Gentiles, and for a couple thousand years, here we are today. We're still sharing this great news. There's joy in our praise. I don't know what it would have been like to be a part of this group of shepherds, but boy, I bet they were praising God with everything they had. You heard the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, over the hills and everywhere. That tells us something. We ought to be going and making disciples any and everywhere. We ought to be so excited. The main thing you need to be known for is praising God and sharing His good news. When it comes to witnessing, there are a lot of great ways you can share your faith this year at Christmas time. You've got to tell them about how Jesus was born. And boy, Christmas Day is a great introduction to that topic. But you've got to tell them how he lived. He had no sin. You've got to tell them that he came and lived for a purpose. And that purpose was that he would give his life and die on an old rugged cross. Jesus was born to die that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Guys, when you're with your family and you're sharing gifts and you're telling stories, let Jesus' story be number one. Be joyous about it. And know that there's probably going to be somebody that you see here in the next couple weeks that they need that joyous message, because their life, they need to be rescued from it. They need to be delivered. They need to be saved. There's one name. What's his name? He and he alone can save. Won't you have joy this year? Won't you have joy in your life? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for what this Christmas season reminds us of. Lord, it's not just that we can live with joy in December, but God, as Christians, we can have joy every single day because of that first Christmas morning. And Lord, we can share that joy with others. Not that they would only know that we have joy, but so that they might share in experiencing the same joy that we've experienced. Lord, for those of us that feel beaten down today, my prayer is this. Help us, God, to rejoice. Help us to have back the joy of your salvation. Lord, I pray today if there's someone here and they've never given their life to you, Lord, would it please be that before they leave today, they decide to trust you and follow you in faith. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You see Brother Tim down here? I've asked him to come down and stand, because today, maybe you need to come and you need to say, Brother Tim, I need you to pray for me that God would help me to rejoice. Or maybe you'd come and you'd say, Brother Tim, I've never known this joy that God promises me, and I want to see if God will give it to me. He'll tell you how.